I made it. Brothers and sisters, it's wonderful to be together. I want to greet some friends from Costa Mesa, Newport Beach, Laguna Beach, Huntington Beach, San Clemente, from Maui, Oahu, Kauai. No, I'm just. I want to get into the thought today of God's eternal purpose. And then get into God's eternal purpose for you. What is all this about? The eternal God creates years of Old Testament history, the coming of Christ, years after that, and here we are today.
Don't stop.
What's it all about? I'm going to use this.
Okay, is it working? Good. Who told him to fix this so you couldn't hear me? Well, here we go. Yes, what's this all about? Why all this history? Why are we here? What is God doing? How do we fit in? That's what we want to deal with today. We need scriptural authority, and so we have a passage of scripture that is just right. It is Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. Colossians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, GEPC, Gentiles eat pork chops. Or General Electric Power Company. So we're in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. And this section is toward the conclusion of a prayer about the deliverance of the unbelievers into the kingdom of God through Christ. And what we're going to read now is about the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. The for him is a very important statement. You might want to underline that in your Bible. This is part of the answer to God's eternal purpose. All things, all history, is created for Christ. And verse 17, He is before all things, and in Him all things are held together. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He should be supreme, preeminent, first place. For it pleased the Father that in Christ all the fullness of the Godhead should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself. By Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And you who once were separated and enemies in your mind by wicked works of unbelief, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, we are overwhelmed by such truth, by such a plan that You have ordained. And we pray to You now. I pray to You. I need Your help. My heart longs to convey the truth. The truth of this passage of Scripture. I long for my brothers and sisters to receive it, so that Christ may be first place in every heart. So we trust You now to do this right here this morning, to bring about the result that You have planned for every heart. We know that we are not here by chance or accident, but that You have drawn each of us here for Your purpose. So now, Lord, do Your work, Your ministry, as we trust You through the power of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, this is a wonderful passage. It reveals four reasons why Christ is preeminent, why He is supreme. These will be worth remembering for you to have through the week. Four reasons why Christ is first place and should be first place in your heart. Here's the first reason. Verse 15. It's because Christ is God. The verse reads, He is the image of the invisible God. The likeness, the sameness as the invisible God. If you have never worshiped Him as God, do so. He's nothing less than divine, immortal, to God. One time a man named Philip said to Jesus, "Show us the Father and we'll be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Philip, he that has seen me has seen the Father." Jesus is God and reveals the invisible God the Father to us. He is the revealer of God. And in Colossians chapter 2, you will read that Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God is no longer invisible. If you want to see God, you have to look at the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God. The second thing in this passage reveals that he is the Creator God. That baby born in Bethlehem, teenager in Nazareth, beginning a ministry in Galilee, coming back into Jerusalem to be crucified, resurrected, and ascended. He is the Creator of it all. Every planet, every star, the sun, the moon, the earth, every person, he is the Creator. And this verse reveals a very interesting thing. Verse 17. He is before all things, and in him all things are held together. That affects us this second. This earth is traveling through space at 73,000 miles an hour. The orbits are keeping their orbit on time. Why? Because he is holding it together. We have learned to get power by splitting atoms. The sun gets its power from fusing atoms. How is all this? It's because the Lord Jesus Christ is in charge and ruling over his creation. Sometimes earthquakes, fires, storms, tsunamis are a real problem for some people. And there are certain Christian leaders who will come and say, "Oh, that was of Satan. God wouldn't do anything like that." But we read that he does. But he's in control. There is no earthquake beyond his control. There is no storm that wipes out the universe because he is holding it together. Here are two reasons why he is supreme. He's God. He's the Creator God. The third reason is in verse 18, where we read that he is the head of the body, his church. He is building his church. The church belongs to him. You belong to him. We belong to him. It's his. He is the authority over the church. No human rules the church. No pope, no bishop, no elder, no pastor, no human, only Christ. He deserves preeminence because he is the head of the church. Now, the fourth reason is because he is the reconciler. These verses here in 21 and 22 are very, very important. He makes peace. There is a conflict between the Lord God and human beings. And the only way that conflict can be resolved and bring enemies together is through the blood of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you sense a problem between you and God, run to the cross. Worship at the cross. Don't try to solve it yourself with gimmicks or legalism. Go to the cross. He makes peace through the blood of the cross. And it's the only way. A recent survey among some Christian young people was astounding. These are church young people professing to be believers. But in the survey, it revealed that a substantial number of them did not agree that Jesus is the only way. They listed Muhammad and Buddha and Hinduism and some of the cults. Amazing. They could be in Sunday school and church and youth groups and not come to know and believe with conviction the word of our Lord Jesus Christ, when he, with a group of people, said to them, "I am the way." Now, anyone who does not believe that is simply directly calling him a liar. If you are an unbeliever, you are calling Christ a liar. He is the Savior. He is the Lord. Now, what does this survey about the young people teach us? It teaches us that tolerance is the big thing today. The fastest growing religion is tolerance. Oh, you don't judge anybody. You don't evaluate anymore. You accept everything. It's a killer. We need to take a stand against all evil, all anti-Christ. and stand as believers. So we have four reasons why Christ is preeminent. He is God. He's the Creator God. He's the head of the church. And he is the reconciler, the one who makes peace with sinners and God. Now, we want to concentrate on this statement in verse 18, where it says that he, that in all things he should have preeminence, supremacy. The word translated preeminence actually means first place. First place, the center, the greatest influence, the one who occupies attention, supreme in all things. Now, there are two matters we need to think of. The first one is the fact. It is the fact that Christ is supreme. No one higher, no name higher, ruling over everything, over the world. And you think of the world this morning. What turmoil. What confusion. There are 27 wars this morning. There are 120 skirmishes or battles. The nations are trying to form alliances for what seems to be a certain global war. He's over all that. Our own nation is declining spiritually, morally, politically. Our students are the victims of the infiltration of Marxist communism, which is far different from the founding of our blessed country. And so we are saying we are at war. We are divided from those who want government control to those who want personal freedom. And I tell you this morning, I am for personal freedom. If any of you agree, shout amen. Amen. You're kind of weak. The fact is, he is supreme. He is preeminent. He is first place. And we need to know this. Christ is first with the Father. And here's the answer to the question this morning. What is the eternal purpose of God? The eternal purpose of God the Father is to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son. That's what this is about. That's what history is about. This is what your life is about. You are here to exalt Christ. It is the purpose of the Father. It is the purpose of the Holy Spirit. He shall testify of Christ. The Holy Spirit does not advertise himself. He witnesses of Christ. He exalts the Lord Jesus Christ. He is first. He is preeminent. He is supreme with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. He is the center. Now we need to talk about us. If that is true of God the Father, and if that is true of God the Holy Spirit, how can it be anything less than for us, whom he has redeemed and justified and belong to him? Is he the most important in your life? Does he get the most attention? Is he the center? Now I want to say this. Any other thing, person, more important to us, to you, than the Lord Jesus Christ, you are living in idolatry. God hates idolatry. All through the years of the Old Testament and beyond, he had to deal with idolatry. The Egyptians had thousands of gods. The Babylonians had thousands of gods they worshiped. His people, the Israelites, fell into idolatry continually. God does not tolerate idolatry. Here's a ridiculous thought. A man goes out and cuts down a tree, carves a statue, and worships the statue. Worshiping the creation above the Creator. Well, you may say, well, in these days we don't have that kind of idolatry. Well, let's think about idols today. What is your idol? What is my idol? Who gets the most attention? Who is the center of our living? I can answer for all of us because it's the biblical answer. The prominent idol in our life is self. Ourself. Me. You. Our pride. Make self our idol. It's a serious thing. God accepts nothing less than Jesus Christ as the center, the reason for our living. We also get caught up in possessions, pleasure, popularity. We want to be pop. We want everybody to like us. You can't live with everybody liking you all the time. If you stand for Christ, you're going to offend. I've probably already offended some of you this morning. It is not my purpose to offend, but it is my purpose to proclaim the Word of God. Sometimes our schedules become our idol. One of the difficult things today about being together is our schedules. People are too busy. Not with the most important things, but the side things. Here's the purpose, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Now, if you noticed, I just looked at my watch. Not that I care, but anyway. One time there was a Catholic boy and a Protestant boy visiting each other's church. And so they first went to the Catholic church, and the Catholic boy was explaining everything the priest was doing, all the rituals he was going through, and then they went to the Protestant boy's church. And the pastor got up and took off his watch and put it on the pulpit. And the Catholic boy said, "What does that mean?" The Protestant boy said, "It doesn't mean a thing." What happens when Christ is first? Life is different. Life is great joy, peace, an ability to face life as it is, a new worship, a new desire for holiness, a new appreciation for grace, and a new and prominent reason for living. Is your life dull? Is life boring? It's because you don't have an adequate reason for living. And the only adequate reason is to have Christ as the center, preeminent, supreme in your life. We seek satisfaction in so many false ways that can never satisfy. Here is the only satisfaction for a human: to have Christ supreme, preeminent, the center of your life. That's the answer to what is God's eternal purpose. All of Old Testament, all of the time between Christ until now, all of the future is centered in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lord. Internationally and nationally, the spirit of Antichrist is here. There are people in our country who are trying to rid the nation of Christianity, of removing from our coins, "In God we trust," in removing from our pledge, "One nation under God," of removing Christ from all kinds of meetings. You can have an interfaith meeting, and you can use the name of the leaders of other religions, but you cannot speak of Christ. I used to go to city council meetings and school meetings and lead in prayer, and I would pray in the name of Jesus Christ. If they knew I was going to do that today, they wouldn't let me in the door. He is outlawed. To us, he is the center. He is the glorious Lord and Savior, who is God, who is the Creator God, who is the head of the church, and who is the reconciler to make peace with God through the blood of his cross. Don't leave here today without talking to him about your life and having him as preeminent, supreme, center, and Lord. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, how I found in him a friend so kind and strong. I would tell you how he changed my life completely and did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There is no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cares for me. And oh, how much he cares for you. Amen.